Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Do you know what we can say on tape, Jeff?
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's us, your favorite earworm friends, for another rousing episode of the podcast.
Yep.
And on this week's episode, Jeff, you know, Jeff, how about you ask me,
what are we going to talk about today, Tyler?
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you asked me, and I'm glad you didn't have to be prompt to ask me. We're going to talk about the body. The body is traumatic, everybody. What do you think we mean by that, Jeff?
Well, we talked a little beforehand, so I think I have an idea. But there's a lot of things. That I think when we're talking about the body in this episode, we're talking about sort of the way the body reacts to things. Mm-hmm. Sort of the way our body stores things and the way we react to things.
Yeah. And I can give some backstory here on why I was like, we should talk about this. Just a little quick backstory. Doing EMDR therapy, that's eye movement desensitization reprocessing therapy. I look at a light and relive things is the shorthand definition of that. And me and my therapist just talked a lot about it. We came to like a good metaphor about it, of understanding it, and just how like crazy that the mind and the body are on like what seems like two separate wavelengths sometimes. And so that made me want to explore it and talk about it. But before we get into it, fuck the shout outs. No one's getting a shout out, but we love you if you're listening. Jeff had
that's going to get us in trouble.
Is it? I'm sorry.
Maybe. No, it's all right. Just for one specific person who might be angry.
Well, they need to say
it'll be okay.
They need to
say. Yeah. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Before we get into everything, Jeff
yes,
had a very you had a very unpleasant experience earlier, and did you want to talk about
man
it?
You know, sometimes it just doesn't pay to go out in public. there's a lot of maybe it's just, you know, the old person irritability with the youngins. But there's no awareness. There's no like awareness of like, I'm in front of you, or I might be blocking your way, or I need to give you some space, or I shouldn't just stop at a corner and block it so I can look at my phone. Or there's a lot of, I think it's just awareness. People are not aware of their surroundings because everybody is very self-absorbed.
Yeah, no, it's a very lack of self-awareness, and I think a mixture of just not caring either. Like, cause I feel it whenever I'm in the gas station and I'm in line for something, and the person behind me is very close, and I'm like, you need the back to fuck up, person.
Yep.
Like, you're on my ass. Like, COVID was just 4 years ago.
or somebody wants to have a long conversation when there's only one person taking care of the customers, even though there's a line. They just want to talk.
They just want to talk
to somebody. And maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe we need to have more interactions, but it's just like, okay, you know, there's eight people standing in line here.
Yeah,
or they need to get their 20 different lottery tickets that are from, I need five of these and five of these, and then let me get my lotto numbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my favorite. It's always, let me get a 15, number four, and it's always like someone that like like this is their Hail Mary is the lottery tickets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It is a definitely a Hail Mary. It's a people that have never taken statistics classes. It's those people.
It's people that just have never won anything in their life, and I am one of them. I went in and got a lottery ticket because I was like, fuck it, I want to try. Maybe I'll win. I'm
not anti-lottery ticket. It's fun. It's fun, but it's just sort of like, you know, I need 20 of them number ones and give me two packs of Skull and
a pack
some
of
those
Marlboro Reds and
what is it? The Swisher Sweets, I guess. Like wrappers, which has got to be you just got to put pot in that, right?
I mean, the idea is you can put tobacco in it. The idea is you can put tobacco in it.
But I mean, a lot of people are lighting up a doobie.
Well, most people, yes. Like if we're being honest, it's the same reason that they kind of sell pipes in a head shop. It's like you're going to use it for tobacco, right? And it's like, sure.
Right. Or is doobie still a correct term?
Doobie is not a dead name for a joint. It's not. It's still very
for token it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, people might refer to you as an old head if you're like spark
an
up
old
that,
head. If I say doobie,
yeah, like it was the doobie. You know.
What
like,
about a roach? Is that still a term that can be used?
A roach is the lower part. Of the doobie. When the doobie has been duped, it becomes a roach.
And then you have the roach clip to smoke the leftover, the last part.
Yes, because you need your fingers can only withstand so much heat to it. So you need
to. It's like the same thing with a cigarette. It would be the same thing. Well, you don't smoke it all the way to the filter.
Yeah, convenient thing about a cigarette is it has a filter. Now they do have makeshift filters for your doobies as well.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to get us too off here. Can you get a vape cannabis pipe? Do they have like cannabis oil or pot
Jeff,
oil?
Are you wearing a wire?
No, Tyler. Could you speak a little closer to the phone?
I
don't know this stuff, man. I'm old. I was raised up in Cleveland, Tennessee. I'm assuming that you can smoke pot through a vape pen, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not. It would be like
cannabis oil or something.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, okay. It would be cannabis oil. That you would use a dab pen for. But yeah, you could get that at a dispensary too. Like, yeah, it's there are many ways to smoke it, but
it seems like that would be easy. You don't have to roll your joint. You just got your cartridge and your pen, and you just suck on it.
Well, Jeff, most people who are connoisseurs of it will say that it does give you a different high,
a different kind of high,
kind of high than say what would be ingesting an edible or.
Right.
Smoking
so you
flour.
smoke pot. You
and that's
use
my,
an edible.
That's actually my favorite. My favorite new term for the zaza, for the dank, for the marijuana,
icky sticky
is flower.
Flower.
Flower. A lot of
that's
people call
a,
it
that's
flower.
Like a nice. That's I guess what it is, right?
Well, it's taken away I feel it's taken away the stigmas of it being a drug, and it's a medicine. It's a flower.
It's actually grows in the earth, unlike whatever we eat in our food.
Exactly. Exactly, Jeff.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, well, we can move on from that.
We can. I want to share my this fucking thing I saw the other night.
All right.
So, I'm visiting Sandy on her lunch break at a gas station, and we typically drive around and like talk and stuff. And then as we're pulling back into the gas station, we see this guy just standing on the side of the building, because we usually park on the side of the building. And
okay,
this guy is standing there. We're both like, is he peeing? And then we look down and we see like the stream and stuff. And we're like, this dude is just pissing on the building. And
wow.
He like sees us and he's like trying to hurry up and like pull his pants up and like scurries off. And
yeah,
we were just in shock. Like, we just walked up on this guy peeing. He's just pissing on the building. Like, there's a bathroom in there with three stalls in it. Why is he outside here peeing?
So my understanding, and I'm not trying to, I think that a lot of even places are locking their bathrooms because I know some people that Uber and stuff, and so they're having trouble finding bathrooms to use.
But
a lot of convenience stores are locking their bathrooms or making it more difficult. Even so, like it's not against the Uber drivers. It's more homeless. They don't want homeless people to go in their bathrooms and get warm and be able to have a pleasant place to use the bathroom or wash their hands or whatever. A lot of places apparently are just locking their bathrooms up.
Yes, that is true, but here's why I don't think it applies to this situation.
All right.
This gas station is off the highway.
Okay.
It's very like trucker friendly. Like, they will have truckers pull up and park there, and they don't charge them.
This was his option. He was going to do this instead of walk the 30 feet to get to the actual bathroom.
Well, that's what me and Sandy were trying to decide. Like, we were trying to think of why he is pissing on the building instead of going into the bathroom that has like three stalls in it.
Yeah.
So like there's plenty of bathroom. There's plenty of bathroom.
There's a lot of bathroom available.
One of the working theories was he just like could not hold it. And the bathroom was full and he just could not hold it.
Or he was like on something beyond where he was not aware of what he was doing.
We are getting to that. But our first one is like he couldn't hold it. My counter theory to that is that he had already peed his pants a little.
Gotcha.
And so
he just had to whip it out and take care of it.
My third option is potentially he was on mushrooms.
Okay.
And would have gotten freaked out. And now here's the catalyst too, is that this gas station is in a very rural part of Newport. It's in a place called Hartford. And this person was an African American. So I'm thinking either he could have been on mushrooms, and I cannot imagine being a black person that walks into a gas station on mushrooms, because in that community, everyone's going to turn and look at you anyways.
Right. So he'd be freaked out.
Yeah. And that could have been also just the sober thought of like, I don't want all these fucking hicks looking at me, which I get it. I wouldn't either. Pee on the building to fucking fight racism. I am for that.
Maybe it was an act of civil disobedience.
But is he rebelling against Big Bathroom? I don't.
I mean, I think he's just sort of saying, you know, here, take it, choke on it.
Here's my pee.
Choke on my pee, white man.
I don't know. I had so many fucking questions. I was just so like flabbergasted. I've thought about this all week, and I think, I think it's just because like I get it. I think you're right. I think he was just like, here, have it, choke on it.
I mean,
pee.
When I was a kid, people peed in parking lots. If I had to go and we were like in a parking lot somewhere, my mom would just say, just pee. It's just a parking lot. I mean, people throw used diapers out in them.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, we don't do that anymore, but in the good old days, we just peed and pooped where we wanted. We didn't have big government, big pharma telling us where we could pee and poop. Big bathroom.
We used to be able just to pee and poop wherever we wanted.
Till big bathroom got involved.
And you know, speaking of pee and poop, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
This all goes back to the body. That's where the pee and poop is.
It's normal.
It's normal.
And that's more of a physiological thing, that a need we have. We have to do those things as part of our body's sort of system of evacuation and making sure that we are balanced.
Yeah.
But the emotional body is also needs releases and does things that are almost habitual, like the, I mean, those are instincts. We have to do those things.
Yeah.
You don't pee or poo, you will die. But there are psychological things that we also have to deal with, mm-hmm. that may not kill us, but are going to cause us a lot of pain if we do not work through things and release some things from our brains and right. our bodies.
Right. It's so crazy to think about, like, at least for me, and maybe it's just because I'm amazed that I can look at things. Like, my vision is from the POV. I get amazed at that sometimes. So take this amazement with a grain of salt.
Okay.
You say he really took a grain of salt. I'm amazed that, like, our bodies are essentially just like a fucking factory that, like, has its own waste that needs to be expelled.
Yep.
We don't have a self-cleaning system. Our body and the things that we take in make just crap, and that crap's got to be shipped out.
And not for this episode, but for some episode in the future, these parts of our bodies where we pee and poop are delicately intertwined with our reproductive organs. So it makes it even more of a complicated system. So it's efficient, but we can talk about that at another time. But yeah, I mean, we have these things we have to do or we will get sick. Mm-hmm. And if our body is, you know, when you get old, what do they ask you? You pooping and peeing? You know?
Oh, is that what
they
do?
That's the question. Yeah, when you're like 80, they're like, have you had a bowel movement today? We've had a bowel movement. That's all they care about. Like, they just want to know if your system is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that thing can shut down and
yep.
Like,
back up.
I know we know, like, a lot about the body, but I feel like there's so much more we don't know. Am I wrong in that thinking?
I think we're learning. I think it's like space. I mean, we learn more things. We replace theories with theories. We learn how things work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look at the body, psychological body, very much as we look at the physical body, which would be a very Freudian approach, is that we're just animals and we have these instincts. And so that we have physical instincts and we have psychological instincts. Mm-hmm. If we do not deal with what's in our unconscious mind, our anger, our fear, all those things, it's going to back up on us psychologically. And it's going to come out. So that's where that body-mind connection comes in, that if we're not dealing with our stress or our fear or our past traumas, they're going to fester and eventually they will interfere with our ability to function.
Man, you know, I fully agree with that. Because what that sounds like to me is that the body, metaphysical, probably the wrong word,
yeah,
but I'm gonna say it, but like the metaphysical body itself needs to pee and poop its anger and stress and trauma out, otherwise it's gonna back yeah. up and kill yep. you.
Yeah, that's the core of psychoanalytic theory, that we have to get at that stuff that we don't, that psychological poop and pee that has to be dealt with, it has to be worked through, it has to be released, and then we can be healthy.
And so
therapy is like going to the bathroom, sort of.
And so, yeah, that's because at the end of my last session, when me and my therapist were talking about all this, I'm just left wondering, like, how do you how do you get your body to not respond to a to something that it thinks is traumatic or something that it thinks is like harmful? How do you get your body to quit responding to something that isn't going to hurt you and is actually good for you? The example I had with it, the thing that it applied to for me was happiness. How do I feel happiness without this overwhelming sadness in my chest? How does my body not feel safe whenever I feel like overwhelmed with joy?
Yeah. Well, and yes. And so I think what we do is if we can process through things and we can relearn or sort of rewire our brains, because whatever we're connecting happiness to, if we're not happy or we're scared of happiness or whatever it is, we have to rewire our brains. And so that's what a lot of therapy is helping your brain to look at things differently, mm-hmm. helping your brain to reprocess things, helping you to understand what happened to you in the past that might have affected you. I mean, everything is learned for the most part. So, I mean, we come with some stuff, yeah. but most of how we act and how we feel is learned.
Yeah.
And so we can unlearn it. So anything that's learned can be unlearned. And so you unlearn the negative, you unlearn the unhealthy, poop out that stuff. And then you replace it with, it's just like, you know, like what we eat. So if I'm eating junk all the time, I'm still pooping, but my body is not balanced. Yeah. If I'm drinking energy drinks all the time and that's all I'm drinking, I'm still peeing, but I'm not healthy. And same thing with psychologically, what we put into our brain and what the voices that we have and what we say to ourselves, we have to replace those negatives with positives, or at least balance that. Okay, let's look at this a different way.
Yeah. And again, right on the fucking head with it. Yeah. Like, and I am so bad about the negative self-talk, and I currently combat it like every day. But I try to look at it from a different angle. I try to, check the facts on it and just kind of see if it's really true or if my brain is just being shitty.
Right. And that's where I think we have to be patient with each other. I mean, how old are you?
I am 31 I'm 55.
Yeah. So we have behind us, you know, you've got 30 years of learning. I've got 54 years of learning. I mean, we're learning from day one. And so that stuff that happens very early on in our lives mm-hmm. can really affect what's happening on later in our lives. So we have to be patient with ourselves and realize that the whole process of going to therapy or trying to change is the point. Being involved in that process. It doesn't always get perfect. It doesn't always fix everything, but being willing to explore and to work through those things is the point and the process. It's the good work. And so it will pay off, but it takes a long time. And so you got to give yourself grace and realize it took you a long time to learn some of these things that make you feel bad or make you not enjoy things.
Yeah, man. And it takes for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been going to therapy for 3 years now. I have made great progress and I've made like great steps and I see a noticeable difference, but it just doesn't feel like it's been that big of a difference. And it's not like,
well, think about every day, 24 hours a day for 20 years or 5 years or whatever versus therapy 1 hour a week. So it takes a long time to change. Yeah. We're very stubborn creatures.
God,
we like to stick with our comfort areas, even if they're not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
that's
true.
Just normal. That's just American. I mean, not American. That's just human.
It's just you. America is human, Jeff.
Okay. Yes, it is.
that's stupid. But yeah, and I didn't mean to undercut what you're saying, but you're absolutely right. Like, comparatively, yes. 1 hour of therapy versus 20 something odd years, or even 10 odd something years of trauma for me is like, yeah, it's fucking drops in a bucket. That's not shit. But
yeah,
I do notice like the progress, and like, I'm not perfect. Of course, I'm still going to be insecure. I'm still going to say the wrong thing or say something that crosses a line and hurts someone's feelings. But instead of intellectualizing it and talking down to them and being like, well, actually it was your fault. I'm more trying to just own it. I'm trying to own that. I'm trying to own up to my mistakes and try to right those wrongs. And if I'm an asshole to you, if you let me know, I'm going to backtrack and, you know, just realize what I've done and try to make it better.
Yeah. And I mean, our whole process, and I think, is to evolve as we age, to do the best we can do to learn from the past, to learn from mistakes and do things differently. And then we never arrive. That's the other thing, is we're always going to be learning new things and better ways to handle things. Sometimes it's an acute thing, like I'm suicidal and I need to not be suicidal so that the impact or the intervention is more intense. Mm-hmm. But in general, it's like, I need to try to learn to interact with people better and to feel better about myself. And so that's that process of sort of moving through it. But the process is really, it's
the prize.
Yes.
That's my favorite phrase, is the process is the prize. And I apply it to the mental health work. I apply it to all the creative endeavors. Like, finishing the thing and putting it out, like, is fine, but the real fun is shooting it and recording it and putting it together and tweaking it and making it the best that it can be. And
yeah,
that's where the money, the metaphysical money is.
Yeah. And that's the part. I mean, the fun part is the process of, well, not in therapy always, but in like making something, it can be hard or whatever, but that sort of, and then when you're done, that's in the past, it's gone. And so we're moving forward again. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to produce next? What are we going to do next?
Yeah. What's the next thing?
I mean, being on both sides, having been a client and being a therapist, it's similar both ways, because when you're working on yourself, it's slow, it's plodding. Every now and then you'll have these aha moments, but they're not every day or every therapy session. Mm-mm. Same thing as being a therapist. It's a lot of repetitive going through what's causing you problems, going through these patterns or whatever. It's just life. Everything is hard.
Yep.
It's worthwhile.
But that's what makes it worthwhile to me is, and maybe, I don't know if this is a jaded way to look at it. I don't know. I don't want this to come across as divorced stepdad that, fucking cops plays, like cops cosplays, you know, like, or military cosplays, like has a "Don't Tread on Me" bumper sticker. I'm not
trying, right.
Not trying to sound this way, but nothing is ever easy, and I am thankful that it isn't, because it makes you appreciate it more when you successfully do something. When you successfully do a task that's hard, you're like, "Wow, I fucking did it! Look at me!"
Yeah, I mean, we have moments, I think, of sereneness or moments of joy where things seem like, "Oh, this is the best." But those are the moments that are not every day. Those might be once a month or once a week or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of time we're just sort of going through the routine of paying your bills, going to work, you know, doing the best you can do to interact. And, you know, it's a lot of mundaneness that is tough, because it is not super fun all the time and it's not rewarding all the time.
Maintaining and keeping a healthy, positive routine is is not an adventure. It's not exciting. There's no stakes in it. No. The only stakes are you falling back into unhealthy patterns. And
right.
Yeah, it's not fucking fun, but you do need to, you need to do those things. I need to do those things. The royal us, everyone,
yes,
need to do those things.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's so many things that are trying to take our attention and our energy. And some of those are very good things, and some of those are fun things, but we have a limited amount of energy. And so there's so much that is asking, you know, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this. And so we have a limited amount of energy. It's easy to get worn out. It's easier to get very fatigued from having to just do the things that we have to do to get through life. We got to remember that it's, we got to take care of ourselves and let ourselves rest and let ourselves, try not to take extra energy out on ourselves by being mean to ourselves or attacking ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am particularly bad about that. I feel like I'm in a constant state of just tired. And
yeah.
I don't feel, even if I do rest and I do sleep and I do relax, I hound at myself and I feel guilty because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the thing that I love. And then I sleep and I don't, even if I sleep well, I just feel perpetually tired. So now that I feel,
I'm there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you.
Right.
100%.
But I think the great thing about feeling perpetually tired is that, like, I feel like now I can just do anything and I'm going to have the same level of, which it isn't a bad level of, like, it's not that I don't have any enthusiasm, but like once I just accept that I'm always going to be tired, there's only one cure for it.
You know, also I think we have to remember what we've achieved and what we have come against and beaten. You know, you're here, you're alive, you're functioning, you have relationships, you have creativity. Those are all good things. And you had to face all kinds of different obstacles to be here. And so I think that's the other thing. We forget what we've achieved. And we're like, oh, that wasn't that big a deal. But it's like, yeah, it is a big deal. You know, there's a lot of things we have to go through that are tragic and crises. Mm-hmm. And you're still here. We're still standing. We're still moving. And so that's something I think we have to pay attention to, is like, yeah, okay, yeah, I feel a little lazy right now, but look at all the things I've accomplished in my life.
Yeah. I mean, and you are right. And I am very guilty of that. I'm very bad at, like, not acknowledging what my worth is and, like, what I've accomplished. And, you know, like, you are right. Like, I am very thankful to still be here. And even if I'm always tired, I'm glad that I'm tired here with my loved ones and friends who are also tired.
Yes.
We should just have a big nap, I feel. Maybe just a nap.
A big sleep in.
A big sleep
in. Like, but that doesn't diminish what you're going through now. I think it's just a reminder of, we can accomplish amazing things. We can survive things. And that means we can survive future issues, you know?
Yeah.
I think there are moments of sereneness, though. Don't you feel like there's every now and then, this is stupid. This is going to sound stupid.
No.
I was pretty grumpy. I went out to the store. People were in my way. I was coming back. And so this is just a moment of joy. So these, I guess they were college students. They were listening to music and they were like waving at everybody that they were passing. And so they passed me and I waved back and the person was just like, their face lightened up and they waved really like strongly. And it made me smile and I just got this little boost of dopamine. It was just like, okay. So there's a moment of joy, just a pure moment of joy. I didn't have to pay for it. It was just there. It was just a random moment of somebody that was in a moment of joy. And so I took a moment of joy from that.
No, that is beautiful. It really is, like, because that's that right there is the meaning of life.
Yeah,
is right.
And then
there.
it was gone in 5 minutes. But for a few minutes, there was a little bit of euphoria of like,
yeah,
okay,
that's
there's some
all.
happy people out here that are just they're just happy to be out driving around and listening to music.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. Like, I don't care how hippy dippy it sounds. I think the fact of the matter is that's what life is made up of, is we have these few little moments
Yeah.
of pure bliss, pure happiness, pure euphoria, whether it be people expressing kindness to each other like those teenagers, or if it's just
yeah
an intimate moment with friends or a loved
yeah.
one and or loved ones. Like, it's the human connection that really just like makes it worth it. And that's what I look forward to. It's what I hope for. Like, and yeah, it's sorry, I'm getting a little choked up.
No, man. I mean, I feel like that's it. And, you know, there's a book, and I haven't read it fully. It's called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's about trauma. And it's about severe trauma. But basically, our body stores trauma just like our brain does. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's why a lot of therapists will work with massage therapists or somatic therapists, because your body actually has that stuff in it. It's like poison, and you have to remove it.
Yeah.
And so our body and our mind are so intertwined. And I mean, I know it sounded weird when we started about peeing and pooping, but we really are these creatures that our bodies and minds are connected. And so our physical health and our mental health are really closely combined, and one can affect the other.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can be mentally healthy and physically healthy, then we're more likely to, you know, feel better overall.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it's like, there's just like such like body and the mind are one, but there's such a disconnect in communication. It feels like,
yes,
for me, that it's like your body is a fucking pet. Your pet doesn't know any better. Your pet doesn't know to piss on the floor. You have to like,
yeah.
And like you mentioned, like you have the body has to get used to a new environment and adjust to people and trust them. Cause
we're just like a shelter animal. I mean, every new situation we get into, we're anxious because we don't know what's going to happen. When you meet somebody new, or even somebody you know, but you're feeling insecure, we're just like, we just want to be loved, and we just want to be able to be a part of, mm-hmm. and we want to fit, and we don't want to feel stupid. And so, like, it's just like we're just looking for our forever home.
Yeah, and that's exactly like a pet. Like, your body doesn't know your pet's not going to know the difference between a play slap, like, versus...
Yeah.
Someone actually being slapped.
Yeah.
Like, and you see it all the time with dogs. Like, at least for me, like, I'll fuck around and like kind of pat Sandy's leg, and like the dog, Maggie, will start growling. Like, she doesn't know the difference between.
Right. She just sees violence and that brings something up in her.
She sees someone's hurting my person.
And people are like that too. Sometimes you can see people just wither.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody will say something mean and you see them wither, and it's just like, wow, what happened to them? You know,
yeah.
We got to be aware of, like, we're not responsible for other people, but I mean, trying to be aware of, okay, so that person seems to have had some kind of issue. So let's be gentle, you know, let's be gentle around that. Let's not. One thing that people like to do is some people will sense weakness and attack. And I think that's another total thing, but they'll sense weakness and use that because they feel so insecure, or they feel so damaged that they'll torture other people emotionally for their satisfaction.
Yep.
But I think we try to be aware and just gentle with people. We don't have to be mean to people. There's no need to be mean to anybody.
No, they're except a Nazi.
Yeah, you can punch the Nazis, you know.
But that's a fascist in general. That's a whole other thing. But like, generally, yes, you don't have to be mean, and kindness gets you somewhere faster than yelling and shouting.
Kindness is free, man.
Kindness is free. But anger is free too.
That's true. Kindness rarely backfires on you unless you're just not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, sometimes you can get taken care of, taken advantage of, but kindness to others, but also kindness to yourself. You know, many of us are very, very willing to be generous and patient with others because we're like, okay, Jeff's a nice guy. I know he's just having a hard day, you know, so I'm going to be generous and gentle. But when we go back to ourselves, we're like, well, Jeff's a piece of shit. Why would I be nice to Jeff? Because Jeff is, you know, yeah. We're really mean to ourselves.
Yeah, Jeff.
You know, we might be kind to others, but we're just like all over ourselves. Like, that was the worst thing ever.
Jeff,
what's wrong with you?
Jeff really nailed my internal monologue. Like, why the fuck would I do? Fucking Jeff, motherfucker.
So, I mean, I think that's where we have that. We got to get that balance of like kindness and generosity to others, but also the same to ourselves.
Yeah. And I feel
and
like
patience.
I mean, just based off this episode and this conversation, like I feel clearer about it. Like, it seems like the best way for us to communicate to our bodies is showing the kindness to our mental health, to our mind.
Yeah.
If we show the niceness to our mind, our body's going to understand that, hey, this emotion that is a really good feeling, but you only experience really good feelings when like something bad preceded it or something bad was coming around the corner. So this feeling actually brings up sadness. Your body will start to understand that, okay, no, this is a good thing. I am safe. We are okay. This is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said it correctly. We have internal monologues all the time, whether we're aware of it or whether we're not. And if you can be aware of it, at least you can be aware of like what kind of messages you're sending yourself.
Mm-hmm. God. And it's so fucking crazy how the mind just okay, it's so crazy how my mind is just like the most heinous person, and it's just like, why are you like that, mind? Come on, we don't actually feel that way. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's a lifelong thing, man. And just to take the journey, those of you who have take the therapeutic journey, it's definitely a hard journey. That's why I think more people don't do it. There are other reasons like cost and availability, but I think some people are just so scared or they don't feel like they deserve it. They're just like, yeah, I'm just too far gone.
Well,
I don't deserve to feel better.
It's hard. Yeah. That it's hard to put in that work and hold yourself accountable. So it's a scary thing. Like, it's hard, and it's not like I don't have bad therapy days where it's like, I didn't really feel like we got anything done. I feel like I just relived that memory again for like the 15th time and like nothing really changed. but
it's sort of like working out at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not have a good workout, but you still went to the gym. You still tried. Yeah. You still are operating your brain. You know, you're talking about things, you're touching different little synapses in your brain. And so whether it feels good or not, it is good. It's always good to explore and dig a little bit.
It is. It really is. And, you know, I think this is a great place to just kind of call it. I think we've reached its logical conclusion with this one, Jeff.
This one we really have. This has been a pretty good one. I think, you know,
I feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel good about it. And I feel like maybe some of our listeners might have had some of these things. And so, yeah, be kind to yourself, be kind to others. You are worthwhile.
Yeah. You matter. You really do matter. I know that's a corny thing to say, but
yeah,
you actually matter. Even if you're,
yeah,
everyone's a villain to someone, just like everyone is a hero to others. Like, the biggest piece of shit still has a number one fan, so you matter.
That's right. You so, do matter. Don't forget that. Remind yourself. Yeah, you matter.
I try to say it every day, but it's hard. Some days are better than others.
Utters. We could put that on a shirt. Some days are better than others.
Some days are better than others. Ah, that's what I've been thinking. I've been thinking about milk. Been thinking about gas stations.
Yeah, well, we'll have to talk some more about milk. We've got some milk ideas.
We've got some milk ideas. We'll milk some ideas. But anyways, this is, again, thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
All of you, thank you so much. And please keep on listening. And
take care of yourselves.